Ask you to open your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm 12. Psalm 12. We all good, brother? We on? All right. Psalm 12. Going to be looking at one of my favorite subjects after salvation. I think it should be all of our favorite subjects. We'll look at some things about the Word of God today. And we will, by the grace of God, see some things out of this book that will help us and increase our faith. The Word of God says in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, we had talked about this a couple years ago now, maybe, about some things about the King James Bible, why we believe what we believe. Sorry about that, sister. Just a few minutes, and then I'll let you guys go down, if that's all right with you. So I appreciate you bringing it back up. Anyway, I wanted the kids to hear a couple different things about the Bible that they need to know when they're young. And looking at Psalm 12, we'll begin in verse 6. Let's go ahead and pray again before we let the Word of God deal with our heart. Father, we sure love you and thank you for your Word, Jesus Christ. Thank you for your words, this King James Bible. Thank you for salvation, for eternal security. And thank you for an opportunity to meet together to brag on you in this book. And Lord, we sure love you and thank you for your mercy and grace, and ask that you just breathe on this service today and give us what we need to get closer to you and increase our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Psalm 12, it says in verse 6, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Now, God doesn't put anything in this book by mistake. These words are in here for a reason, and the Word of God is powerful. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's perfect, and it's precious. And if we look at this verse, it says the words of the Lord are pure words. It's pure. So if we have a bunch of different things out there they call the words of God and they don't match, how can they all be pure? They can't be. If they're not identical, they can't be the same. So if he says he has pure words, then we have to be able to have access to them. And we do in this King James Bible. We're going to look at some things today. It also says that as silver tried the furnace of earth purified seven times. That's going to become very important in a little bit. Like I say, God doesn't put anything in this book by mistake. And we'll look at a few things about that seven times purified here in a little bit. But what I want everybody to understand today, especially these young folks, is that your Bible is important. We don't just have God's ideas, we have His words. We have His words. And we have to have His words because Jesus Christ says, if a man loves me, he'll keep my words, with an S. And if you're going to be blessed, you're going to keep God's words. And if you don't have God's words, how can those things be so? So it's important to understand some things about this King James Bible. Now, this King James Bible, God has used it for over 400 years. You're not going to find any other Bible that He ever used like that at all. This Bible has been printed more, and people have purchased more copies of this and all the other NIV, NASB, RESPCT, whatever they've got out there, put together tenfold. And God's still using this book. Every alleged Bible that's on the market is compared to this book. They compare every one of them to this. And you've got to understand how important this book is. The United States of America, God blessed this nation like He's blessed no other nation because of a couple different things. People that had faith in this book and people that wanted to be a blessing to Israel. I don't have time today and I don't have it put together today, but one of these days, Lord willing, if He allows it, we'll talk about the history of the King James Bible and how it ties into the history of the United States of America. Some amazing things happened, and God did some amazing things, and And if you'll remember, I'll just briefly talk about this. The explorers coming around here and hitting the sea, hitting the shore of the United States, what is now the United States of America, and nothing happened for a long time. God finally allowed this place to be founded after the King James Bible on this book. And it's just amazing the events that God had lined up so he could use this nation. What did he want to use this nation for? To bless Israel and to glorify Jesus Christ. And you really can't separate those two things. There are a lot of folks out there, you know, God's done with Israel. We talk about this a lot, that people say God's done with Israel. We got this replacement theology, and now all the blessings go to the bride or the church, you know, and that's just not true. Like I said before, we have to throw out Romans chapter 11, where he talks about turning back to the Jews after the fullness of the Gentile comes in. You call God a liar, because he made a permanent covenant with Israel on a land grant, that he gave them land permanently forever. So if God's through with Israel, then he lied. And God's not a liar. So people need to understand what they're saying when they're saying these things. They're calling God a liar. And when they're saying there's no perfect word of God in this day, they're calling God a liar. We have a perfect word of God. And it's so important for you young folks to realize, if you're going to live a life that glorifies God, you're going to do it by the Bible. And you have to realize that God has a Bible and the devil has Bibles. And I'm not trying to be mean to anybody that has another version. I never told anybody you can't bring an NIV, an NASB, or anything else in here. I'm just telling you, if you're going to get what God wants for you to have in your life, you're going to do it with the King James Bible. And you're going to put faith in it. That being said, you have to be careful, too. I mean, we have opportunities to try to get, you know, sympathy cards and thank you cards and stuff. You know how hard it is to find a card with a King James Bible verse anymore? It's virtually impossible. I mean, you can find them, but it's like one in every 100. And it is important, because the words have been changed, and the words don't mean the same thing. And another thing, even if the verse looks like it's very similar and there's one word changed, you're still promoting a perverted Bible. We got to be careful. We picked them up and thought, hey, this is a nice card, and read it and thought, NASB, RSV, NIV, whatever. I believe this book. And I don't want to be a hypocrite about it and say, I believe this book, and run around, you know, quoting other Bibles, or alleged Bibles. But here we are in this book, and we look at Psalm 119, 130. It says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. Now, how can we have light that God wants us to have if we don't have his words? I mean, just think about it. It just makes sense. If he wants you to keep his words, keep his commandments, keep his words. If you love him, you'll keep his words. And the entrance of his words giveth light. Then we have to understand he gave us his words. Some of the detractors will say things like, where was the Word of God before the King James Bible? Okay, those same people will say this. The Word of God exists in the originals that don't exist. Now think about this. The originals were long gone before the book was ever canonized into 66 books. And we'll talk about that a little more. But I really just wanted the kids to understand a few things, and we'll look at Acts chapter 11, and then we'll let them go downstairs and pray for Miss Debbie. Amen. But in Acts chapter 11, no, we've got some good kids here. Acts chapter 11. So to start out with, we'll talk about this King James Bible. In Acts chapter number 11, and we've talked about this before, we'll look at verse 26. And when he had found him, he brought him into Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. Now here are people getting together with the church, and they're learning some things about these people. And then it says, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch, not Jerusalem. Right? Remember, Jesus' ministry was to the Israel. His ministry was 99.9% to the Jews. Paul's ministry is 99.9% to the Gentiles of the church age. But we're looking at a verse here that says, it doesn't say that the saved people were first called Christians in Antioch. It says the disciples, because they noticed them to be Christ-like. Now, we've talked about this when we talked about eternal security, and we talked about this when we talked about lordship salvation. Saved people can be very un-Christ-like. Amen. And if everybody in here is honest, you've been saved over 20 years, you can say there's been times in your life you've been very un-Christ-like. Hopefully it was a very short period of time you got right with God. But just because you're saved doesn't mean that people are going to look at you and go, wow, there's a Christian. But they did with the disciples in Antioch, Syria. They looked at them and said, those people have been with Christ. They act like Christ. There was something different about Jesus Christ, and there was something different about his disciples. Disciples were people that wanted to follow him closely. Well, the interesting thing about this is the King James Bible, the manuscripts that was translated from, come from Antioch, Syria, where the Christians were first, or disciples were first called Christians. All of the other English Bibles, with one exception that's not really an exception, we'll talk about in a minute, came from Alexandria, Egypt. Now, there's a couple problems with Alexandria and Egypt. Egypt's a type of the world. Nothing good comes out of the world. Alexandria, if you'll remember, Paul was on a ship, Alexandria, headed to Rome. So all these other versions that come from Alexandria, Egypt, take the churches to Rome. And that's a dangerous place to be headed. To be headed, amen? But matter of fact, a lot of people were beheaded by Rome and burned at the stake and all these things. But you got to understand your history. If you get upset with me and your grandma's a staunch Roman Catholic and you never come back, I'm sorry, but I'm going to give you the truth. And you got to be aware of some things. God loves Catholics. He loved them and died for them, wanted them to get saved on Calvary. He wants them to go to Calvary and get saved. Just like, hey, and they're going to be Baptists in hell. They'll be Catholics in hell. People that go to heaven are saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. They're born again. So I'm not picking on the people for being bamboozled and believing a lie. I'm just stating facts. If you're on the boat going back to Rome, you're in trouble. Or headed to Rome, you're in trouble. But the thing is, the King James Bible is what God has given us to learn how to walk with Him and worship Him and love Him. So you have to understand there is an important thing. People will tell you, well, it's not really a big deal. Pick up any of them. They're all Bibles, but they don't say the same things. We'll get into that a little more. But you kids can go downstairs and be real good for Miss Debbie and listen and learn something about the Lord. Good to see you all. God bless you all. Have fun down there. Not too much fun. Amen. But I think a lot of problem with the churches is, first of all, the pastors don't know what to believe anymore because they've been lied to, and they don't search it out. They don't search the Scriptures. They don't search to see what's true. And then the church is like, well, you know, I guess the pastor hadn't said anything about it, so everything must be all right. No matter what we pick up, I'm going to go down and get my pink, sodomite-friendly whatever Bible they have out this week, and I'm going to use that, and it's just going to be just fine. And I'm just getting fed when the preacher preaches anyway, you know, because I'm really not going to read that pink Bible. I'm just going to carry it around maybe once in a while. I'll leave it on the table to collect dust. But I'm telling you to read your Bible, but to have a real one. To have a real one. So, well, there's not. Where was God's Word before the King James Bible? Well, if you look at the Bible and study the Bible and you get in the Old Testament, you realize that God, He reveals things gradually a lot of times. So was the Word of God here before the King James Bible? Absolutely. Was it perfect and preserved before the King James Bible? Not like it is now. Now, I believe when He gave it to him in Greek, the originals were perfect. And He gave them what they wanted to have in Greek. I believe the Hebrew and Syriac, because part of Daniel is written in Syriac, I believe those were perfect and exactly what He wanted to have the Jews to have in Hebrew and Syriac. I believe that. But the problem with that is these folks, college professors even, Baptists, Bible believers, they say, will tell you this is not God's Word, that God's Word were the originals. Do you know what the originals were written on? Papyrus. You know what papyrus is? It's like one of the cheapest forms of newspaper you can get. Do you know why they say, well, the oldest manuscripts say this? Well, that's not necessarily true. The more complete manuscripts that they claim to be oldest might say one thing. But when you have something that was written on something that was between toilet paper and the newsprint, and people actually believed it, and they read it, and they wore it out and used it, they still have fragments of that are older than what they're called the oldest and most reliable manuscripts. But they don't have the complete things because they wore out. But they'll have a piece of it that might be 2 or 3 inches wide, 4 or 5 inches tall, with maybe part of a verse, and they might have several pieces of that, and they they marked them manuscript P or whatever because it's a piece of the papyrus. And just because they have more of one thing doesn't make it right. Now, if I've got a King James Bible and I got an NIV at my house, I guarantee you the King James Bible is going to get more use. And if somebody come in later and there's a page missing out of the King James Bible, or something got wore off of, well, you can't even hardly read that word. And you go over to the NIV and you look at it, boy, man, that looks like it just got printed yesterday. So obviously that's got to be the right one. Well, that doesn't make sense, does it? I'm going to read the one that's right. So, well, that's, where was the King James Bible for, or where was the Bible, Word of God before it got to the King James Version? Well, I believe the originals, originally, whenever written down, were perfect, inspired, exactly what God wanted. And the Hebrews, the Jews, they diligently wrote these things down to preserve them. But they weren't the only ones that were writing things down. Matter of fact, if you go back to Alexandria, Egypt, where the manuscript started for the all the other Bibles except for the King James Bible and the New King James Bible, but believe me, the New King James Bible is not a New King James. We'll get to that in a minute. But all those manuscripts go back to about 340 A.D., approximately. You know what else goes back to about 340 A.D., 325, 330 A.D.? The Catholic Church. Do you know what the manuscripts are called that go to Alexandria, back to Alexandria, Egypt? Sinaiticus and Vaticanus. Because the Vaticanus manuscript come from Rome. It come from the church, the Catholic Church. Matter of fact, there's a story that somebody found it in a trash can and picked it up and started, you know, because somebody was writing it and threw it in. And that may be true. If it was, they should have left it in there. But it's Vaticanus and Sinaiticus. Now, the King James Bible comes from a line, like I said, from Antioch, Syria, and it's Erasmus text. I don't know if I can pronounce all these things right. Colonnaeus text, the Stephanus text, the Beza text. And what's the other one? Elsevier or something like that. Well, you know, a lot of folks, well, that King James Bible comes from the Stephanus text. Well, it comes more primarily from the Beza. All these manuscripts are the received texts, the Textus Receptus. Well, when they say, well, the Textus Receptus didn't exist until a certain period of time. Well, the word didn't, but the manuscripts did. They started calling it the received text and the manuscript, Textus Receptus at a certain time, but the manuscripts still existed before they started calling them Textus Receptus. They just called them Erasmus and Colonnaeus and Stephanus and Beza and Elsevier. But these texts all go back to Antioch, Syria, where the Christians were first called Christians. Now, I mean, honestly, what would you rather translate a Bible from? The ones that go back where the Christians were all called Christians first, where the disciples were first called Christians, or back to Rome that's teaching all this pagan stuff? Because that's where they go. And, you know, the thing is, the Bible, and I don't understand it. I really don't understand it. I know it's spiritual, and I know it's the devil uses people a lot of times out of pride, and I believe that's probably the biggest problem, but these college professors, these Bible college professors that stand up and say, we believe the Word of God, but they don't have it. And then they say the Word of God's the originals. And then they rewrite the Bible 300-400 times to correct the imperfections, and they still haven't got them corrected yet. That's a problem. Now, if they're the experts and they've got the mind and they can't correct it 400 times, what do you think? Now, if you get a hold of a King James Bible that has a dedicatory in it, dedicatory page where it talks about the translators always talk in there about how they were unworthy to handle the Word of God. You know who God uses? He used people that are humble. Now, if you go to these new supposed Bible versions and you read about how these great scholarly minds have learned how to perfect the Word of God, well, these great scholarly minds have been doing this for 300-400 versions and they haven't got it done yet. Another important thing is to realize this Bible says where the word of a king is, there's power. And a lot of this stuff I'm getting from Brother Ruckman. And I don't care what you think of him. The guy was a good Bible teacher, and the guy knew the King James Bible was God's Word, and he could prove it in a court of law. But England, standard time for the world is from England. Greenwich, England. That's where it is. I mean, that's where you go. Every If you've got a watch and it's right, it matches up with England. That's where standard time is for the world. And when you're going to find longitude and latitude, you're going to find something. If you're going to find Gateway Baptist Church, they're going to use England as a point to find it. That's where the point starts. That's where they measure longitude and latitude. So, matter of fact, if you look at absolute temperature and absolute time and absolute position, it's all based on England. The British thermal unit and all this stuff. Absolute truth is also from England. Where the word of a king is, there is power. You say, well, you guys worship King James. I don't worship King James. King James is a sinner. I worship King Jesus. Amen. But God used King James. Why could God not use King James in an imperfect man, but he could use all these other men? Right. He did use King James. Matter of fact, King James, remember, Jacob is the one that God called Israel. James means Jacob. Isn't that ironic? Couldn't that be? What an accident. What a coincidence. It's not an accident. It's not a coincidence. And God says where the word of a king is, there is power. The United States has never had a king. Right? Look at all these versions that they've allegedly rewritten. Where'd they come from? The United States. There ain't no power in this place. The only power this place had was because of the word of God and the people that submitted to it to start with. And the reason we're in the condition we're in today is not because, and I know you guys are going to hate to hear this, but it's not because of Obama and Biden. It's because of people turning their back on the Word of God. And the reason the church houses are in such a mess today is because people have turned their back on the Word of God. And they're following the wrong Jesus. They're following the wrong book. They're following the wrong spirit. And if you don't believe me, just listen to what people tell you when you ask them about Jesus Christ, or you ask them about their religious beliefs. The lack of holiness that they apply to Jesus Christ. The lack of purity that they apply to Jesus. I mean, Jesus, he's my brother, he's my friend, and all this stuff. You know, they say it like they're talking about the mailman. They don't realize who he is. Say, well, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yes, he is, and he's going to get that crown one day. But he should have it from us now. Amen? But there is, we do have a Word of God, and it does make a big difference which book you're reading. Where was the Word of God before the King James Bible? Well, I'll tell you where it was. It was in the original Greek, the original Hebrew, the original Syriac, and then there were fragments of truth all the way through until he perfected it with the King James Bible. If you look at the way God does things, like we talked about a little bit ago, he doesn't just go, here's all the light, bam. He gradually exposes things. The Old Testament, we can look back at the Old Testament and see a picture and types of Jesus Christ because we have the New Testament where he gradually exposed things. Amen? You can't very easily look at the Old Testament and find tribulation, great tribulation. Because what they seen back there was the first and second coming looking like one thing. They didn't see the church age. They didn't see the great tribulation time for the Jews. But God exposed his truth and perfected this Bible through men. That's another reason he does things gradually, I believe, because he's using men, right? But he used some men when they translated this King James Bible that were in awe of him and his word. And he used them and blessed them like he's blessed no other group of men. So where was the King James Bible? Where was the Word of God for the King James Bible? Well, Martin Luther had a German Bible that were from these right manuscripts. Some other Bibles that were written off German, off of Luther's Bible and off of other Bibles that were translated were Italian Bibles, a Hungarian Bible, French Bible, Spanish Bible, Iceland Bible, Holland Bible, Russian Bible. They were all written before the King James Bible, mostly off of Luther's Bible. And then you get to the English. Remember it says purified seven times. Well, that's an interesting thing because if you look at the languages that they come down through, Hebrew, Syriac, Greek, Old Syriac, Old Latin, then we had German, Martin Luther German Bible, then we went to English. There's seven right there. That's just seven languages. Then when you get to English, there are seven primary English Bibles were written, and the seventh one is the King James Bible. You had the Coverdale Bible, the Great Bible, Matthew's Bible, the Bishop's Bible, Tyndale's Bible, Geneva Bible, and the King James Bible, which was seven. I might have got my fingers wrong there. But there were seven. And seven is God's number of completion and perfection. He just said purified seven times. Then he says, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. From what generation? From the seventh purified generation. If you read the book, that's what it says. I mean, we read it and we think, man, we got the Bible. But if you really break down what it says, he's saying he's preserved it from that seventh purification on. Here it is. And the critics will say, well, you know, the King James Bible, there were 2,500, or, you know, they'll name all these errors in the Bible. Okay, well, the errors that they say are in the King James Bible were copy printing things. They were letters that weren't printed right. There were punctuation marks that weren't printed right because they didn't have, the Gutenberg press straightened all that stuff out. But when people were writing this stuff down, they were making mistakes. They were doing the best they could. They were fighting against the Antichrist spirit, and they were trying to get the Word of God out to the English-speaking people as fast as they could. And they were writing these Bibles out, and there were some mistakes. And there were some things that were changed. But you're talking about capitalizations, you're talking about punctuation marks, and you're talking about, if you look at the Old English, the S's and F's and how they looked, they were changing those so we weren't as confused when we read them. They weren't changing the Word. They weren't changing the meaning. And I believe this book has God's inspired punctuation in it. Because I believe God got it to where he wanted it for us. And if you don't believe that, we have a problem, because if you change the punctuation, you change the meaning of a lot of these things. And that's a problem. English is almost like my second language. I'm a hillbilly from Missouri, but I'm telling you right now, I do understand that punctuation matters. I can't necessarily put it where it belongs all the time. That's why God gave me a wife. But I do know it changes things. Just like we talked about earlier when he said, from this generation forever, we know it's talking about that seventh purified generation because of the way it's written. It wasn't talking about the generation that verse was written in. It was talking about the seventh purification generation, from that generation on. So, Sinaiticus and Vaticanus, they come from Rome. And we look at, it doesn't make a difference. What does make a difference? I want to talk about this real quick before I forget about it. All the Bibles in English besides the King James Bible and supposedly the New King James Bible come from the Alexandrian text, the text that comes from Egypt. Now, the King James Bible comes from the Antioch Syrian text, which come from where they first called Christians, or disciples Christians. And you can trace that thing to where God used it and all the great revivals that went down through before the King James Bible, during the King James Bible, the biggest one after the King James Bible was printed, the biggest ones. You can trace it all the way from Alexandria, Egypt, through all the God's great awakenings and great revivals that's ever happened in this world. But the New King James Bible, see, they were having trouble. They were getting so much kickback from using the Catholic text that they said, well, we've got a New King James Bible from the Textus Receptus. Well, that's partially true. But where they didn't like what it said, they didn't even look at the Textus Receptus. They looked at the NIV or the NASV or the RSV, and they changed it to match it. So they were indirectly going by the Catholic text. So when you pick up a New King James Bible, you do not have a King James Bible. And the only thing new about it is a new perversion. And there are some important things in there that are messed up. This is not just a hobby horse I'm riding because I want to be different than everybody else. I want to be right with God, and I believe this book. And this book, the King James Version in Acts 20, turn to Acts 20, 28. Do you believe Jesus Christ is God? Unless you're a Jehovah's Witness or just an Antichrist of some sort, Jesus Christ is God, right? If Jesus Christ was anything but anybody but God, could he save you? If he was just a man, if he was God's son, but he wasn't really God, could he save you? Think about that. And then think about it again, maybe if you're having confusion, but think about it after we read this verse. Acts 20, 28. This is talking to the preachers. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he, God the Father, hath purchased with his own blood. Right? Because God's blood was shed on Calvary to pay your sin debt. It's the only blood that could do it. All the other versions don't say that. They say the blood of God's Son. They take away from the deity of Christ. You say, well, that doesn't mean it. It does mean something, because it's God's blood, or it couldn't purge our sins, couldn't take care of our sins. In Luke 2:33, it talks about, in the King James Bible, it says Joseph and his mother. Talking about Jesus Christ, and it says Joseph and his mother. Was Mary Jesus' mother? Yes. Was Joseph his father? No. But when you get into the new versions, they say his father and his mother, talking about Joseph being his father. These things are might seem slight, but they're attacking the deity of Christ. Turn to John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, in verse 13, I'm going to read the verse and I'll explain why it's important. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Now that's Jesus Christ talking, right? He said, no man's ascended up to heaven except him that come down from heaven. Then he says, he that is in heaven. So Jesus Christ was on this earth and in heaven at the same time. Okay? When the Bible correctors do not, that doesn't make sense to them, because they don't have the spiritual discernment to understand that Jesus Christ is God and he can be in different places at the same time. They say, oh, it doesn't make sense, so I'm just going to change it. And they don't even look at the Greek. They don't care what the Greek says. They just assume there must be an error here because they can't understand it, so they change it to make themselves understand it. So they don't say this anymore. They don't say the Son of Man, which is in heaven and down. They say he had come down with heaven. They leave it at that. They take away the ability for Jesus Christ to be in two places at once at the same time. You got a big problem with that, because the Bible says that if you're saved, you're in him and he's in you, and you're at the right hand of God the Father in him right now. That's part of your eternal security. You can be in two places at once now because you're in Christ. Amen. They attack that verse. Well, it doesn't make that big a difference, right? I say that tongue in cheek. It does make a difference. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Turn right for quite a while there. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now you realize the guys that rewrite these books and call them Bibles, they want you to worship them. You realize that, right? You realize they want you to believe that if you need truth, you're going to have to get it from them. If you want truth, you're going to have to get it from them. Look at this verse. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, now that's a real important verse. He tells us to study, and he tells us to rightly divide. You know what the new Bibles, or alleged Bibles, do? They take out that study. Somebody doesn't want you to study. All of them. You're not going to find one of them that says study. They don't want you to study. But look at the importance of study, and it says study to shew thyself approved unto God. If you're going to be approved of God, you're going to study his words. Amen? Why would they do that? Okay, well, maybe that's not enough to convince you that... maybe you're not convinced the King James Bible is the Word of God, but I want to convince you the other ones are the devils. In Isaiah 14, you know what it says? It talks about the devil and his fall, Lucifer and his fall. And you know what it calls him in the, several of the new versions? Son of the morning. Morning star. It gives him names that belong to Jesus Christ. So how could that be? Because somebody's messing with the Word of God. Somebody wants you to believe that if something calls Satan the same thing that Jesus Christ should be called, that's fine. Because it's just another version. And we don't really have God's Word. Well, even if you didn't believe, I believe the King James Bible. Even if you didn't believe it, and you thought we don't have God's Word, why would you not want to read the one that gives the most honor and glory to Jesus Christ? Why would you want to read one? Why would you want to have one in your house other than maybe showing people where it's wrong? Why would you want to have one in your house that says Satan gives the Lucifer a name that belongs to Jesus Christ? Why would you want to have one in your house that takes away from the God's blood being your atonement? Why would you want to have one in your house that says Mary and Joseph were Jesus' mother and father? Why would you want to do that? Even if you didn't believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. If I didn't believe it, and I believe it, I'd still go with this Bible. If you laid them all out there, all 400, 500, 700, whatever they got out there now, and you said, well, look at these five verses right here, I'd go, I'm going with this one. Amen? And if you got a whole bunch of people out there saying, well, you know, God's Word, really, it's not really His Word, it's His principles, it's His ideas, so it really doesn't matter what Bible you have. And you got one person out there saying, hey, man, God's Word's true, and you better get the right book. Why not err on the side of caution and read the one that everybody, that somebody's saying is it? I can tell you 1,000 people, not off the top of my head, but I guarantee you, you give me 3 days, I give you a list of 1,000 people that believe that God, that's God's Word. I can give you a list of 100 people that have been, went home to be with the Lord over 100 years ago that believe that was God's Word. And people say, oh, you're a Ruckmanite because you believe that King James Bible. There were so many Ruckmanites around before Peter Ruckman was even born, it's ridiculous. C.I. Schofield was a Ruckmanite. He got messed up later and got an RSV, but he was a Ruckmanite. He talked about the King James Bible, the beauty of it, and how, boy, it was God's Word. As a matter of fact, Billy Graham started out being a Ruckmanite. He didn't even know it. He didn't end it because he didn't end believing the right stuff, but that's unfortunate. I don't want to, you know, God used him, praise God for him, but I don't want to, you know, slight the guy's ministry. Toward the end, he was wrong about a lot of stuff. I don't want to be wrong about a lot of stuff when I go out of here. I'm ready to go out of here, though. So you guys pray with me for the rapture, and we'll see what happens. Amen. But I'm telling you, I want to talk about this today because we were talking the last several weeks about the attack on the church. And there are independent Baptist churches all over the country, and the preacher will stand up there and he'll preach that he believes the Word of God, and he doesn't. And he'll tell you to read the Scriptures, and he doesn't even believe he has Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed. Well, you know what I believe? I believe that the King James translators, God breathed on them. And you have a book, if you've got a King James Bible, you have a book that God has used more than any multiplication of any books. You can look at any books in the world. You go to the Library of Congress, you can get every perverted version you want, and God has used this book more than He's used any other book. He used this book more than He used the original Greek. He used this book more than He used the original Hebrew. He used this book more than He used the Syriac, or all those together. He used this book right here. Matter of fact, I'll tell you something about the Bible lines. This will really get you going. It should, and if it doesn't, you need to wake up, because there's something bad going on here with these Bible versions. These books that come from Sinaiticus and Vaticanus, have you all heard of the Apocrypha? Now, the Apocrypha are Catholic books. They worship those books. There are 66 books that have been canonized in this King James Bible, and they were canonized in before the King James Bible. The German, Luther's German Bible, he didn't mess with that Apocrypha. People go, well, King James Bible, them translators put the Apocrypha in it. They didn't. They had the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the Apocrypha was in the middle, and they said they were good for some history. They weren't God's Word. You know how they decided what God's Word was? A big part of how they decided what God's Word was when they canonized it was quoting Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ never quoted one time on anything, any of the Apocrypha. He quoted the Law, the Prophets, the Psalms. He never quoted the Apocrypha, and the Apocrypha doesn't match up the rest of the Bible. So these people that say, well, you know, we don't really have a Bible, you know, but any of them will do, and these Baptist teachers and preachers, they'll point to the Vaticanus and Sinaiticus manuscripts, but you know what, with the Vaticanus, and they'll say they're the best manuscripts, and they follow closely to the originals, and that's what we go with because they're the best ones. You know what they have in the Old Testament of the Vaticanus and Sinaiticus? Not between the Testaments, right in the Old Testament. The Apocrypha, which no Bible believer, no church believer has ever believed those to be Scripture, except the Catholic Church. Well, how'd that happen? Well, I don't know, maybe a mystical force blew all these fragments of paper together and they got mixed up. No, somebody sat down and rewrote these things. And we can go back to Westcott and Hort that perverted the text that was already perverted even. And then we can go on back to different Catholic writers and on down the line to people that did not believe Jesus Christ was God, did not believe salvation come by grace through faith, did not believe in eternal security, did not believe in the blood atonement. They didn't believe in anything that we believe in, and they rewrote and messed with these manuscripts trying to take away from the truth. And now the Baptist preachers and Baptist Bible scholars, alleged, are taking these texts that have been perverted and saying, these are the best texts. And then they'll look at the King James Bible and say, well, your King James Bible's got a problem because they had the Apocrypha between the Old Testament and New Testament, when the truth is it was right in their Old Testament. And if their text is so good, why did they take it out? right? Now, if it's perverted to the point where there's several books they won't even accept as true in there and they leave out, why would they believe the rest of it? It's not that they believe the rest of it. It's that they hate this one. They hate this one. And these good, godly men that will tell you they love the Lord and they believe the Bible and tell you that you probably ought to have a copy of the Scriptures, if you ask them, will tell you they don't have a copy of the Scriptures. But if you could get the originals, you'd have God's Word. I'll wrap it up with this. The originals never existed in the same place at the same time. Never. By the time you got to the New Testament, there was not one book of the Hebrew originals left, because they were written on paper that was more delicate than this. And you know what? People actually read it back then. And when they read it, they'd wear it out. Now, if God says to keep His words, and if you love Him, you'll keep His words, don't you think you have His words? I'm telling you that because I love you and I care about this church. And it is important. After salvation, there's nothing more important. Jesus Christ, God said in His Word, He said, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy Word above all thy name. Isn't that something? God takes His Word seriously. We ought to. No, I just don't want to be, you know, I don't want you to get the impression that I just want to be different than the guy down the street. Well, I do if he's wrong. Amen. I believe the book. And there are probably 90% of the Baptists out there that have a good heart for the Lord, love the Lord. They don't understand what they're doing. They have no idea there's even a difference between the Bibles because they've been lied to. But there is a difference. And if you've got one that says, that attributes names that belong to Jesus Christ to Satan, and you've got one that takes shots at the deity of Jesus Christ, the blood atonement of Jesus Christ, the Godship of Jesus, God, Him being God the Father, and God's blood purchasing the church, and you've got one that takes shots at all these different things, and the fact that God is omnipresent, He can be in heaven and on earth at the same time. See, if it doesn't make sense to people, they want to change it so it makes sense to them. And God doesn't want you to change things to make sense to you out of His Word. He wants to change you to match His Word. I believe that I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus right now. I believe that if I dropped over right now, drew my last breath, I'd be in heaven. I'm already there. I'm already there spiritually speaking. I believe that. So when you come to a verse like John 3:13, where it talks about Jesus Christ saying Him being in heaven, I don't have a problem with that because He's God. Do you believe God indwells the believer? Now what happens if one of you takes off and goes to Chicago and the other one goes to Texas? Who's God go with? He goes with both of you. Because He's God. See, they try to make Him into a man and try to fit Him into their mindset. And the truth is, we'll never be able to understand God this side of heaven. But He gave us a book to take by faith. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Oh Lord, increase our faith. You're not going to do it with an NIV. You're not going to do it with an RSV. You're not going to do it with an alleged New King James Bible. You're going to do it by putting your faith in the right Word and reading it and submitting to it. Amen? I say that to say this. I want this church to be right. If Jesus Christ calls us out of here, hopefully before 12:04 today, and you won't care about your pot roast then, don't worry. I want to be able to stand before Him and Him to say, hey, didn't do everything right, but you tried, and you had the right book, you had the right heart most of the time, amen? And your church really wanted to be right with me. And I want Him to be able to look at everybody in here and hopefully say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Father, we sure love You and thank You for Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank You for Your Word, and we ask that You'd bless it every time we read it and give us something from it that will draw us closer to You. I ask for Your blessing on this church in a mighty way, that You'd bless each and every individual. I ask for Your blessing on those young folks downstairs, Lord, that You'd touch them and help them and strengthen them. Give them a love for You and Your Word that this world can't understand. And Lord, that You would just bless them and protect them and bring them up and nurture and help the folks to bring them up and nurture and admonition of the Lord. And Lord, just help us as we endeavor to go forward. Carry us through each day. We need you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.